Exodus, and we're going to kind of work our way through into the New Testament looking at this idea of rest and refreshment. And you know, oftentimes as Christians we read missionary biographies. I'm reading the one that team left behind from June, and I'll put it in our church library when I'm done the end of this month, so just a couple more days. I hope you'll read it, and you see these missionaries who just pour themselves out for the Lord's cause, some of whom didn't see a lot of results or whatnot, but sometimes we can read those and see how they kind of burned out and think, okay, I just, you know, to be a godly Christian, I just got to go till I drop. No. But there's the other danger of, okay, then this resting thing's pretty nice, you know, just kick back and, you know, armchair Christianity and let go and let God, and I'll watch from the stands. And certainly that's not biblical either. So what I want to do is kind of look at it. And it's interesting, different words in the original languages in the Bible are used but have the idea of to be refreshed. One of the words, to breathe freely, to revive, to support, to comfort, to establish, and yet are often translated as rest or refresh or something similar. To retreat, to recover, to restore, and to enjoy. It's just taking ease and whatnot. And I think it's good for us to see a biblical view of this, because sometimes we get the sense we need to refresh, but we look the wrong place to do it as well. And so we need to be careful of that. So Exodus chapter 23, verse number 12. We've had the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, and now God is, through Moses, reviewing with the people some in more detail of what they should be doing as far as observing God's laws. And one, of course, is the observance of the Sabbath. In verse 12 it says, chapter 23, verse 12, it says, 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman, and the alien, and notice, may be refreshed. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at this important topic in the Bible, help us to have a good biblical scriptural balance in our lives, not to drive ourselves into the ground, nor to just kind of cruise through life, but to see the purpose you have for us, to fulfill that, but also to find those times to recharge and refresh. And we pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. So what you see here is God setting aside a day. And it's interesting, when people see Sabbath, they think automatically Saturday, but the word Sabbath means literally to stop or to cease. So in the Old Testament economy, that day was set aside as the seventh day of the week because, as the example is, God rested on the seventh day from his creative work. He didn't quit working. He kept track of his universe and kept things going, obviously, but rested from his creative work, but did so primarily to give us the pattern. And notice it's even for the animals, the ox and the donkey, for the servants and whatnot, and to be refreshed. And why is it that we have this day set aside? Now, for us as New Testament believers, we do Sunday because it's the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord from the tomb. And some people see it as almost restrictive. Does it mean I can't do anything on the day? I know we had a lady in one church that maybe she was raised this way. You didn't even read the newspaper on Sunday. And we had a gentleman who would give us the Sunday paper because we didn't get the paper. But I told him, well, just make sure she's not looking. We don't want to offend her. It's not a problem for me. It's not a problem for you. But at the same time, it would be a problem for her. And I get that. And so some people have different things they feel like they can and can't do. And that's okay, but you do need a day to take a break, is what God's saying. And it's good to take time to worship him and meditate on his word and his truth, and to come together and do that as well. And so we have this day we set aside to refresh. Now, I'd have you go ahead to chapter 31 of Exodus. I forgot to say it was page 75 there where we were. It's now page 85 in the Chair Bible. And look at verse 17. Verse 16, he talks about, again, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and notice, and was refreshed. I'd never thought about that before, but God himself refreshed. It's not like he's tired, but it's the idea that we need a break from our regular routine as well. And we've seen people that burn out. And why often do they burn out? Not only is it because they're going and going, because they're doing the same thing over and over again. You see people with jobs that are repetitive in a factory line or something, right? And after a while, that just, it's a mindless, numbing thing, isn't it? And God intended us to work. He intended us to produce, but he also intended us to refresh. And we'll see as we go through here, the consequences of not can be very tragic. Now turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, page 282. 1 Samuel 16. Of course, the context is Saul is starting to have his raving mad times. David's been anointed king, and he is now in Saul's service. And of course, Saul is going to more and more have these difficult times. And as we know, David was a musician. He writes many of the Psalms, right? He spent time out with the sheep and protecting them. And verse 23 of 1 Samuel 16 states, whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. God's given us the gift of music, and it can be very refreshing. And there's different styles, you know. The military uses marches. Why? Got to get them, you know, in line, going together, working as a unit, prepared to fight, whatnot. And then there's soothing music, and there's all kinds of different music we have. Why do we use the music we use here at church? We believe that it best represents God's holiness in coming to him to worship him, okay? And the idea is the music should fit the words. And it's important that the words be scriptural as well, because you see a lot of, and you see a lot of even older hymns that really don't say anything. Come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Okay, there's not a lot doctrinally there, okay? It's an old timey and people kind of like it, but you're not learning anything about God or Jesus in that. It is what it is. And then there's a lot of fluff being written today. It's all about me and emotion and feeling good. But there's a lot of good hymns being written too. And we have some in our hymn book that speak about, you know, Christ in Christ alone. And these ones that are very theologically rich and singable. And the idea is, as we come and gather and do that, hopefully you carry these songs with you during the week, because you're basically learning scripture as you're singing, or scriptural principles. And it can refresh you during the week when you're struggling with things, or when you're just frustrated or whatnot, to bring back to mind songs we sing. You know, what did Elizabeth just play for us? Be Still My Soul. Isn't that a wonderful hymn? You know, it goes back to the psalmist where he says what? That we need to be still and know that God is God, basically. And that's one of the things refreshing will do for us. And the problem is, and we live in a world that's so fast-paced that oftentimes, with all our electronic gear and everything, you know, it's time to maybe shut this baby off and just, okay? I have it in my back pocket, also the church phone, in case somebody calls when service time or something, right? But, you know, we're awash with 24 hours news feeds, Facebook, Twitter, and funny videos, and this or that. And you know, some of it's just harmless and okay, but it can get us so absorbed with that we're not refreshed. We don't stop and think. We don't stop and meditate. The Bible tells us we're to meditate, not but taking the Word of God as we memorize it and learn it in a way that's memorizable with music and poetry and whatnot, and take time to just think on that and think, how does that apply to my life? What should I be doing with this? And so Saul, as he struggled, was refreshed as David played music that refreshed him. And God has given us wonderful music and hymns to refresh our souls. But then go to 2 Samuel 16, page 315 in the Chair Bible. 2 Samuel 16. And the context is David is being chased out of Jerusalem by his son Absalom, who has just usurped the throne. And he's going across. The Bible pictures he's hurrying out of there as he finds out that Absalom has won the hearts of many people. He sat there right outside the gate where his dad was, and everybody had come up to hear him. He'd say, oh, if I was the king and if I was the judge here and I heard your case, oh, I would take care of you. And he was good looking, he was well spoken, and he just fooled a lot of people. Sounds like pretty much politicians today, right? You know? And people are buying into it. And when David finally found out, it was like, I got to get out of Jerusalem fast. And he is hurrying out there with the loyal people he has. And the Bible tells, interesting enough, I mean, you know he's going to be in a big hurry to get out of there. And verse 14 tells us this. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary at the Jordan. And there he refreshed himself. And you think, David, you got to keep going. You better get the Jordan River between. But they were so wore out, they realized going any further would be useless. Have you ever been so tired you knew you weren't making good decisions and you weren't thinking right? We all get there sometimes. And you know what the Bible's telling us? It may be time to just stop and refresh, think on the Word of God, maybe sit down and read a psalm or something. Just the temptation to say, well, I'm wasting time. I need to, right? I got to get this done. But we all know that oftentimes we're in that state, we don't really get much done, and we end up having to fix it. My wife can tell you when she sews, she quits doing it after 9 most of the time because she's usually ripping out what she does after 9. Okay? All of us have those after 9 times where hopefully you figured yourself out and you know where you're reaching the point that you're going to break, and you say, you know what? I need to take a break, or I will break. And I will do things and say things that I shouldn't. You know, because when we're at that point, a lot of times that's when we blast people or we lose it. And David, as hurried as he needed to be, said, you know what? We are wore out. We will cross Jordan tomorrow and get more distance between us and Absalom. That was a good decision. And of course, God was with him. And we know the rest of the story where Absalom dies in battle and David comes back as king. But then turn to 1 Kings 13, page 346 there in the Chair Bible. Here is where a person is in a place where they shouldn't be refreshed, at least where they were. And this reminds us God has appointed places and times for our refreshing and places and times where we shouldn't. The context is the kingdom has just split. Solomon has died. His son Rehoboam listens to his counselors that are his age instead of the older, wiser men, and decides to tell the people, well, I'm king, I'm going to be tougher on you than my dad was as far as taxing. And of course, with Solomon with 1,000 wives and concubines, that's a big tax load, right? I mean, he's having to pay for, and a lot of them are ladies or princesses. They've been used to being in royal courts and being, you know, treated well, dressed well, eating well. So you can imagine how much it takes to take care of Solomon and all his glory, building the temple, building his fancy house, and then all these women he's got, and horses and stables and whatnot. And so Rehoboam comes along and says, my little finger is going to be thicker than my daddy's midsection. Whoa. So 10 of the tribes say, we're done with you. We're off to hanging out with Saul's crowd again. And Jeroboam, who's king of that group, and God told him, if you will rely on me and do what's right, I will establish you. And being a human being and a politician, he says to himself, if the people in my realm start going back to Jerusalem to worship with the people down in Judah, they're going to soon say, we don't need you anymore, and join back up. So he decides to have his own worship system. And he puts a golden calf in Dan, which is up in the north, and one in Bethel to catch people that would be heading south to Jerusalem. So he basically makes worship convenient. You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem. If you're up north, you can go here to Dan. And if you're toward the south, don't even bother Jerusalem. Just go here. And the Bible tells us in chapter 13, God sent a man of God by the word of the Lord to Bethel. And he stands and he basically condemns the altar there at Bethel as they're worshiping and preaches a message of judgment of God. And verse 7, the Bible says, after this has happened, the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. God's command to him was, you go, give my message, and you get out of there. Why? Because if he stayed back and hung out with the king and had dinner with him and whatnot, the message would be mixed, wouldn't it? It would be like, well, he came and he condemned it, but he's hanging out with the king, so maybe this worship isn't all that bad after all. But sadly, he knew better there, but the Bible tells us in verse 11, there's an old prophet living in Bethel, and he invites him over. And he tells him, oh, God said to me to have you in. And you know, you read through this passage, and it's a difficult one to interpret. I'll give you that right now. We don't have the time this morning to go through all the details and figure it out. Was this man of God, the old prophet in Bethel, really giving him the truth or not? But he was used of God to test the man, and the man said, oh, okay, and he goes home to eat with him, and he gets killed by a lion, as that prophet foretells. And it's a reminder, God in this book gives us ways to refresh and warnings about where not to. Okay? There's certain people you don't want to be hanging around with to refresh, or you might end up in jail. There are certain places a believer just shouldn't go. And so we need to have wisdom in that. Now go on to Isaiah chapter 28, page 699 in the Chair Bible. Isaiah chapter 28. And this is a failure on the part of Israel to truly be refreshed as God wanted to refresh them. Starting in verse 9, when we'll read down to at least verse 12. It says, to whom will he teach knowledge, and to whom will he explain the message? And this, of course, is Isaiah saying God's judgment is coming on both the northern and southern kingdom because of their idolatry, because of their straying from God. Those who are weaned from the milk, those who are taken from the breast, for it is precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. From people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people, to whom he has said, this is rest, give rest to the weary, and this is repose, yet they would not hear. And the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And the Bible there is picturing the rest God would give them, but they have refused it because they are going to continue to pursue their own sinful direction. And think about it for a minute. One of the ways as believers we rob ourselves of rest and refreshment is when we go astray from God and His Word. If you're truly a believer, God's Spirit will not leave you alone. He will convict you. God will chasten you in ways. And so it's sad that oftentimes we lack rest and refreshment just because our stubborn pride, we don't want to get things right with God, or we don't want to deal with our sin. And here's a nation, and God's literally crying out through the prophet, would you just come back to me? I will give you rest. I will give you refreshment. Jeremiah the prophet puts it this way. He says, my people have committed two ills. Number one, what? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they have, what, gone to basically broken cisterns to get the refreshment. And the Bible reminds us, whenever I turn away from God, whenever I go my own way, I'm not going to be refreshed. It doesn't matter how chill my life might be, how financially well I'm doing, if I'm a believer, God will not let me rest in that because it's not for my good and His glory. Then turn over to, or back to Proverbs chapter 15, page 639 in the Chair Bible. Proverbs chapter 15. So if ignoring God's word doesn't bring rest or refreshment, then what would we say? Following God's word will. In Proverbs 15, verse number 30, the Bible states this, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and notice, good news refreshes the bones. What's the best news there is? Well, in this book, what is the gospel? It's good news. And I think one of the ways we rob ourselves of refreshment is we are just so loaded with news. You know, you want to lose your blessing, spend a lot of time on CNN or Fox or any of the news channels, and by the time you've watched for 30 minutes, you're just, right? I can't believe those people are doing it. Why? Right? We all get there. And the Bible's saying, you know what you need to refresh? Big act to the good news. The good news that Jesus saves. The good news that God is still on the throne and he's in control no matter who's in D.C. or Cheyenne or Kemmer City Hall. And we have the ability to go to him and talk to him anytime, day or night. That's refreshing. The news is not. You know, every once in a while, I know, like a Paul Harvey or something, they'll have nice little feely-goody clips about this person took care of this person or did it. And that's nice and that's fine. But most of the news we know is what sells, right? What keeps people on. Oh, this scandal, this is happening. And like a scandal in D.C. is news, right? But we need to get back to the book. Good news is what refreshes the bones. Then still in Proverbs, go to chapter 25 and verse 13. We want to look at the people God puts into our lives that can be a refreshment, a blessing to us. Proverbs 25, verse 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. And it's picturing, you know, we say cold in the time of harvest or snow. It'd be kind of hard to harvest in snow, right? Well, it's picturing probably what they did. I mean, this is pre, you know, refrigeration time. You're out there working. Our gentleman got refreshed yesterday. Dana came down to Ridley's to refresh them, okay? But can you imagine she comes back and she says, here's a Coke and it's been sitting in the sun for an hour. That ain't real refreshing, is it? It's probably picturing the snow of Mount Hermon, the different places they could get ice and snow and keep things cold during the summertime so that here's a cold drink to refresh you. That's probably the picture. Whatever the case, notice a faithful messenger is one that refreshes. That's one that gives the truth. That's one that can be depended on. And the question I ask is, are you a faithful messenger of God and his word? You can refresh other people. Who are you refreshing in your life, and who do you look to refresh you? You should have a fellow believer of some kind, a good trusted friend, maybe a family member, somebody when you're down and you're struggling, you can go to and they will refresh you because they will give you the truth and in the right way and in a kind way, but help bring you back. You know, when we get frustrated and we see the news of this and that happening and maybe we didn't get good news from the job or whatever and have somebody be able to set us down and say, but you know what, God's still in control, isn't he? And that's refreshing good news. That's refreshing truth, what we need. God puts those people in our lives. Then turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 3, page 1083. It's interesting how Peter describes this. He and John have been up at the temple earlier in the chapter. There's a lame man there begging. They come up and the guy gets all excited because he's hoping Peter's going to pull out his wallet and slap some money in there like other people are doing when they go by. You know, he picks a busy place and Peter says, well, don't have money. But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the kids' song, he went walking and leaping and praising God through the temple, right? And then a crowd gathers. And so what does a good preacher do? He preaches because he's got a crowd. And notice what he talks about starting in verse 19. He says, repent therefore, speaking of Christ having come and died for their sin, and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Notice verse 20, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. So he's talking especially about the return of Christ and how not only will people be refreshed that are believers, but the whole world, Romans 8 talks about it, that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for what? The revealing of the sons of God, for our restoration as God intended us when he made man perfect in the garden. And so it's a reminder, who's our greatest refresher? God. And where do we get that from? His word, when we turn to him. And so the Bible keeps trying to draw us back to this. Then go to Acts chapter 27, page 1112, and we'll kind of wind up here. Paul is now a prisoner headed to Rome. The Bible tells us in verse 1, when it was decided that we should set sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustus cohort named Julius. And embarking on a ship of Adramidium, sounds good, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And that word cared for is the word we get that we also translate refresh. Think about this. Here's Paul, the apostle, the scripture writer, the guy out front, missionary journeys. But if you read his letters, and I'm going to read you a few other quotes of his, we won't turn to them all for time, but he looks for opportunities to be refreshed. Does that make you stop and think for a minute? Does the preacher need refreshed? Oh yeah, he does. Does Brother James and Elizabeth need refreshed? Yes, they do. Just look around. All of us need it at some time or other. And God has put us here together as believers, not only to come hear the word, that's very important, and be refreshed through that, but to be here to refresh one another in encouragement. And if you're not here, guess what? It may be a Sunday that you miss out on the refreshment God had for you or the refreshment you have to give. That's why the Bible talks about not forsaking our assembling. Why? Because it's there to not only, you know, stir one another up to love and good works, but to encourage, to refresh. And so Paul needed it there. Also, in Romans 15, he writes the believers there, and we'll just read you a few here to get the idea, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be with you, be refreshed. He was looking forward to going to Rome before he ended up becoming a prisoner. Acts 27 is after he wrote Romans 15, obviously. 2 Corinthians 7, we read that earlier, didn't we? Titus comes back and gives Paul good news, and he's refreshed. And Titus is refreshed by the good news. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Paul's talking about team members and ones that have helped him. And you read on his ministries through the book of Acts. He had a Titus and a Timothy and a Silas and a Barnabas and different ones that encouraged him. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Philemon 1, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And then verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my heart in the Lord. And that's just a sampling of this idea. So as we close out, are you refreshed today? Hopefully coming here has helped some in that. Who are you going to go and refresh as you give out the word of God? And let's always remind ourselves that when we are struggling, when we are having difficult times, God has purposely set aside times to refresh, and it's okay to do that. And sometimes it's wise to do that so that you don't burn out or you don't blow up or you don't totally just give up and quit because you're so physically and emotionally and mentally wore out, you lose it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you're a wise God, that you set up the week so that we would have a day to refresh, to cease, to meditate, to worship together, to encourage one another. And Lord, I pray if there's one here who maybe is not refreshed, maybe it's because they have yet to trust Christ as their Savior. They don't have you as their God, and therefore they're not going to be refreshed because their sin was still a burden upon their hearts. Pray that today they would turn from their sin and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For us as believers, help us to be sensitive to those around us that may be struggling and may need a word of encouragement, just praying with them, taking them out to coffee and sitting and listening, whatever it takes to be a refresher. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to know when we need to take that time, the quiet time to refresh our souls before you. And we pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.